A bit of an odd Sunday to be sharing a message, really. So much going on, isn't it? I feel quite daunted, but God is good.
All the time.
The message I've got was a message really given in light of all the change that's about to happen here at St. Julian's. And we've had quite an exciting couple of months, haven't we? We've met Lee and Michelle, and we've made a decision that they're going to be invited to join us in September, and they've accepted that post, so it's all exciting times. We've had a lot of messages recently about how God has created each of us to be individual and to be different, because we are God's creation. We're not our creation. We're not our parents' creation. We're God's creation. And that he's known us since before our very first breath, and that he has a plan for each of us. Now, in the current climate, that probably feels a bit scary, but God still has a plan for each of us. It doesn't matter what's happening around the world and what's happening on our own doorsteps, he still has a plan for each of us. That doesn't change. God doesn't change. When he looks at us, he sees us as his children, and he sees Christ in us. And you know, as a church, we have a massive responsibility in the current climate. A massive responsibility to show each other how much we love each other, but to show the world how much we love them. This is our time. It's always our time, but this is our time. More so than ever. And we've had lots of reminders about our responsibility to be and do all that God has called us to. I think I've spoken on Joshua, Trevor last week confirmed that message and spoke again on Joshua and about how, and you know, in my mind, Clive has been our Moses. He's brought us to this point, and now it's time for us to hand over to Joshua. We're with Joshua now. We're on the banks of that river. We're prepared. We're ready. We're on the banks of that river. But we are the priests that have to take that step out into the river in order for the people to follow us. We are the priesthood. We are the priesthood of the church. And we have to be the ones confident enough to step out now and watch that water roll back. And I think I shared on that last time we spoke. The water just roll back and give us a dry path to cross into all his promises. We're in a time of change, a time of transition. And so far as it feels really strange sharing this because so much in the world has changed in the last week or two. But when this message was given to me, this was the right thing to say. So far, everything's gone our way. As far as in meeting a new minister, appointing a new minister, everything just fell into place, didn't it? And it was very much felt that it was God was in it because it fell into place so perfectly and because they just seemed to meet the remit that we were looking for, we were the people they were looking for, and it was amazing. We've seen the hand of God in the way that the future of the church seems to be going. God's timing and his miraculous way of bringing things together. And I don't know if all of you know how much time has been spent bringing Lee and Michelle to St. Julian's. How much time God has spent preparing that, because it goes back to Royston Evans 20 years ago, probably, was the first time that Lee and Michelle made a connection with St. Julian's. Then Ruth in Mount Pleasant, and then Lee and Michelle and myself at Ebenezer and Pengam went through Leadership Academy together, spoke together, led worship together, led services together, led youth groups together, did loads and loads and loads and loads of things together. And when I heard that Clive was going to retire in August 2018, I messaged Michelle and said, don't know what Lee's doing at the moment, just to let you know, give you the heads up. I know we're here now, but God was in that all the way through. You know, he brought me here, brought Ruth here, brought Lee and Michelle here, all because he has a massive plan and a massive purpose for the future. Nothing ever happens by accident. And a really good Christian friends of mine used to say, there's no such thing as a coincidence, it's a God incident. So we heard last week that this is now the time of preparation. And I just said, we're on the banks waiting for the day that we as his priests step into the middle of the river so that we can cross safely into God's promise and the people can come with us. We can lead the people with us. My message today is this, really. We're in the place that God wants us to be, doing what God has called us to do. And when we're striving to enlarge God's kingdom, showing God's love and doing God's work, the devil isn't happy. We really upset him, because he doesn't want us to be doing God's work and enlarging the kingdom and reaching out and loving each other. That's not what he wants at all. He wants to destroy all of that. And he begins to unsettle us. Now, he plants seeds of doubt. He causes rows between people, little irritations. He causes us to doubt our ability and our calling. He wants us to fail. And this is when we have to be on guard all the time against those little irritations. On Friday, I think I must have had my most difficult day as far as little irritations were concerned. I had three rows with three random people in a day. Not massive rows, but just little irritations. My daughter had gone to France. I was going to feed the cat, morning and evening. Only gone for 4 days. The next door neighbour wasn't happy with that. Had to come out and challenge me at 7:30 on Friday morning about who was looking after the cat. To which I respond, well, I obviously am, because I'm here. And I was here last night. And so that was the first one. Then I went to Morrison's to buy some Calpol and paracetamol and all those things that people are being told to stock up on, even though you can't buy more than two of anything, which is a bit controversial to me. So I had a bit of a row with the woman whose attitude was, well, what do you want me to do about this lot? And she actually just wanted me to choose which ones I wanted, because I didn't realise I could only have two. And then my neighbour came and complained about the cat, about my cat, in the evening, and had another quarrel about that. So it was just one of those days, and I sat at the end of the day and thought, you know, it's all these little things, isn't it, just needling away, that distract you from where you should be focused and where we need to be focused. It's distractions, and the devil is really good at giving us distractions. But God is greater. Greater, he's already won the battle, the victory is his. He is greater than anything and everything. So we need to listen to him. Look for confirmation that it is God speaking to you, because the devil will try to sound like God. And he will give you messages and he will give you instructions, and you think, oh, God's telling me to do this. How do you know if it's God or the devil? Well, God will always follow up with confirmation. You will never just hear a word from God and that's it. There will always be confirmation. It will either be, well, for me, I'll tell you how my confirmation always happens. For me, it's the nag, 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 nag. It's not just said once. It's said in several different ways, but it's still the same message. And it keeps coming and keeps coming. It can come through a song on the radio. It can come through something random that I might pick up and read in a book. It can come from the news. It can come from the television. It can come from anything. But the message will be the same over and over and over again. And then it will be confirmed through my prayers. It will be confirmed by God's people around me, who will say the same thing or share the same thing, or a worship song will confirm the message. There's always that confirmation. And then by God's word. So the confirmation is clear. It's always clear. When I sat in Ebenezer before I left, I'm very naughty for not listening to God sometimes, in the sense that I do listen eventually, but he does have to keep going at me sometimes. And when I sat in Ebenezer towards the end of my time there, he kept saying to me, you shouldn't be here. There are wolves in sheep's clothing. And I kept thinking, nah, you're wrong. And I looked around and looked around and I don't know who you're talking about. I do not know who you're talking about. So I kept going and I got more and more uncomfortable. I got more and more uneasy in my seat. I enjoyed the worship less. Everything just became more and more challenging about the whole experience. Got to Sunday morning, didn't want to get up and go, but got to go to church. And eventually, and I'm not going to share what happened, but eventually something happened that exposed those wolves. And those wolves were the closest people to me in the church. And yet God had been telling me all the time. He was giving me messages through the worship, but sometimes we don't listen quickly enough, do we? As it happened, God's timing is immaculate. And I know that even though maybe in hindsight I feel that I should have left the church before I did, actually the timing probably was God's timing. And no doubt I did leave when he wanted me to leave. I'm going to stop talking myself now, because I'm going to go to God's word. And I'm going to confirm the messages through God's word. I'm going to read from the Message, which I know is a very modern translation of the Bible, but it sort of talks like I do. So it sort of makes sense to me. And I'm going to start in Romans 12. So if you want to follow in your own translations of the Bible, we're reading from Romans 12, verses 1 to 8. And in the Message, she says, it is called Place Your Life Before God. It has a title, Place Your Life Before God. Because these are the things, the four reasons I'm going to do now, I feel, are the things we need to do now to protect ourselves as a church, to protect ourselves as individuals, and to make sure that in the light of everything that's going on around us, we're still on the path that we need to be to step into God's promise in September. And it's not just for us, it's for Lee and Michelle as well, and we need to keep them in our prayers because they will be coming under massive attack. They will have doubts, things will go wrong, they're going to have loads of stuff going on. They've got to find schools, they've got to get themselves moving, they've got to get their house sorted, they've got to do all that, and I'm sure that they will come under attack, so we need to keep them massively in our prayers as well. Because when September comes, all this coronavirus stuff will be over. And we need to be ready to take the step that we've been promised. So, Romans 12, 1 to 8, I said, didn't I? So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you down to the level of immaturity. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you do not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvellously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be. Without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. So that's our first little bit of guidance. Okay, so everyone's got a job to do, and I appreciate in the church it's really important that everyone does the job they've got to do. And it is really important. But at the same time, if you see someone struggling to do the job they've got to do, then we can still give a hand, can't we? And we can still help. Keep a smile on your face. Do the job you've been called to do. The second reading I want to share with you is from Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. Philippians 4, 4 to 9. And this is entitled, Pray About Everything. Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the Master is about to arrive. He could show up any minute. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the centre of your life. So we've got to stick together, we've got to do the jobs we're called to do, and we've got to pray our worries away. Pray them away, hand them to him. It's so easy to be worried, isn't it? And I said to James earlier, there are two schools of thought at the moment, aren't there? There's the one group of people who are panic-stricken in their houses, can't move because they've just gone, oh, I don't know what to do and I'm really frightened. And there's the other group of people who are just saying, you know what, I'm just going to carry on as normal. I'm going to be cautious, I'm going to be careful, I'm going to follow instructions, but I'm going to let my life carry on as normal. And we just have to be, as Christ's people, the people who sort of bring the two together and sort of take, we can take both sides and we can listen to both sides and we can hear the concerns of both sides and we can support both sides. I have a daughter who's just carrying on blasé, everything's fine, I've got to go to work tomorrow, kids are going to school, everything's fine. And I've got one who's locked herself in the house panic stricken and is just crying down the phone to me every 2 seconds. Don't know what to do. Although did go to France last week, which probably wasn't the wisest thing to do in the world. It's probably why she is now panic-stricken. Anyway, so, and then we've got to pray. Right, the third one, Hebrews 6, 13 to 20. God gave his word. Hebrews 6, 13 to 20. When God made his promise to Abraham, he backed it to the hilt, putting his own reputation on the line. He said, I promise that I'll bless you with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless. Abraham stuck it out and got everything that had been promised to him. When people make promises, they guarantee them by appeal to some authority above them. So that if there is any question that they'll make good on the promise, the authority will back them up. When God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word. A rock-solid guarantee. God can't break his word. And because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God, where Jesus, running on ahead of us, has taken up his permanent post as high priest for us. We have a promise that God will never break. Never break. He's promised us that he loves us and he will look after us and he will meet our needs. We've heard all this morning how he's going to keep us safe. He knows us, each of us individually. He knows that your needs are different to my needs. That Nick's needs are different to Sian's needs. That everyone's needs are different. But he is an individual God. He can come to each of us individually and meet those needs. So we have to put our trust and our faith in him. And never ever doubt that his promises are for us and will be kept. And I'm going to end with Ephesians 6. Verses 10 to 18. A fight to the finish. And that about wraps it up. See, it does talk like me, doesn't it? I like it. And that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws at you. There is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. You know, that fight is on a daily basis. And some days, that fight feels more intense than other days. And some days we can say, right, it's that, that and that today. And other days we just breeze through the day and think, oh, that was quite easy. But the devil's never resting. If he gives us a day of rest, he's planning something for the next day. You can guarantee it, can't you? Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. No one falls behind or drops out. We've got to do that, haven't we? So we've got to work together as a church. We've got to know our jobs. We've got to take on our responsibilities. We've got to recognise that we're all different and give each other credit for the fact they're not the same as us. They might think differently. They might have different worries to us, different concerns. They might react differently to situations. So we have to give them that because we are all different. And we have to pray and stay strong. We have to let God take hold of everything. We have to believe that he knows exactly what is happening. Our faith has to be so strong, that even in this current climate with COVID-19, if one of us is taken ill, if we lose somebody in the church, that we have to still have faith that God knows. There is no guarantee. We don't have a guarantee. But we have to have faith that God knows exactly what's happening and that he's in the centre of all this, and that the plans he has for this church after COVID-19 will not be taken away from us. He has made a promise to us. He has made a promise to Clive and Jeanette for a peaceful retirement, for them to be able to go and to live the rest of their lives together. We have to hold on to those promises. But we have, most importantly, to pray for one another and support one another, and not to back away from each other, not to forget each other. There could be a time in the coming weeks where we are separated for a number of months or weeks. We don't know, do we? And we don't see each other. But we have to keep the prayers going. We have to make sure that we keep each other in our prayers and our thoughts, and we keep in line with what God wants us to do. That's the end of the message.